It's September, and summer is gone for now, and students return to school. So, what may occupy your free time? Raking fallen leaves? Then watch movies? Which movie do you love to watch? Have you watched the fictional film about the battle between the Spartans and the Persians? Have you watched the movie 300? The king of Sparta led 300 Spartan soldiers and in battle against 300 individual Spartan soldiers. They defended their nations against 300,000 Persian soldiers. 300 versus 300,000? Wow, how about that? Have you watched that movie? It's interesting. Several times the Persian attacked the Spartans, but they were defeated again and again. But then a man from Sparta, a man who had physical deformities, went to the king of Persia and revealed the secret path to surround the Spartans. The king of Sparta and his 300 soldiers gallantly fought until all of them died in battle. Previously, the traitor from Sparta wanted to be a Spartan soldier, wanted to join, he applied, and he told the king of Sparta, I know a secret path that may used by the enemy to defeat us. But the king of Sparta said, no, because of his deformities, you would only be a liability in the company of soldier. No. So that traitor felt so bad because he wanted to be a soldier just like his grandfather, just like his father. They were also gallant soldiers. And he wanted also to be a soldier like his father and grandfather. So he went to the king of Sparta and told the king of Sparta, if you make me a soldier and give me some luxuries, I will reveal to you the secret path to defeat the Spartans. And indeed, he was honored as honorary soldier. He was given this shield, armor, like a soldier, although he did not go to battle, so that he would feel like it's like for a selfie, kind of like if there were selfie. At that time, he would have worn that soldier outfit and just have selfie and just publish in his Facebook page. Maybe that was what he just wanted. And he did not tell that to the king of Sparta. I just want this selfie thingy to publish in my Facebook page. I don't know if there was Facebook before, but anyway, because of that traitor, the Spartans were defeated. In this fictional form, sadly, it practically illustrates realities in the church. There's defection, there's desertion. When church attendees cannot get what they want, they would go where they can get their wishes. When human instinct prevails, there's this disappointment. When human instinct prevails, there's frustration. It happens that church can be disturbed. Let's reflect on what Christ declares in Mark 3:24. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And truly, the Spartans were defeated because they were not united, just because of one traitor. Anyone can be disappointed. That is natural instinct. Have you been frustrated lately? When they are frustrated, when they cannot get what they want. But what when God prevents us to get what we want, we should pray. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me understand why you did not allow me to get what I want. Help me understand and know that you have a better plan for us. Do you believe that? When we cannot get what we want, it is God's love for us because his plan is better than what we want. Pray for wisdom to understand that God, the plan of God is the best for us. Well, everyone has unique background. Everyone has unique upbringing. And upbringing and background may affect behavior. Why is that person behave like that? Why is he so nice? And maybe he had a good upbringing. Why is that person is so disturbed? Maybe because they are disturbed. The parents are disturbed. Have you heard lately about the mass shooting, school shooting outside the border? They are now blaming the parents. Parents, the father let the kid, 14 years old kid, have access to his guns, and accordingly, that 14 year old kid, the father also bought gun for that 14 year old kid as a gift. And accordingly, the mother also was disturbed and had multiple arrests or committed crime accordingly. So the behavior of the child affected by the behavior of parents accordingly. And then if you go through the comments, there are people who say, I have a very difficult family, but I turn out good. So it is also individuals' decision to do something such and such, and not solely or primarily blame what parents do. I understand that situation. Well, my father was a drunkard. You can ask my sister, she can testify to that. And I was also a drunkard at very young age. But God allowed it to happen for me to see his grace and glory when he transformed me. By faith, the Lord changed me. I don't feel bad that my father was a drunkard or I've been a drunkard. I see it as God allowed it for me to be more thankful how he transformed my life. And everyone would seek the help of the Lord, trust in God. He would transform us. When we come to the Lord, he has planned for us. He wants us to be productive. Well, diverse behavior dictates us, there's division that may happen in the church. But if we lord the Lord to prevail in us, we will be more productive. We will know that he assigns us to appropriate ministers in the church, in the body of Christ, the congregation of believers. Today we will be having our nomination. If your name will be nominated, think about that. God may have been preparing something great for you to experience. Take that challenge prayerfully and experience more of his grace. Now, in the past, the church also experienced much problem, division. And actually, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for unity. In John 17, verse 20 to 21, let's read. I pray for also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Why did the Lord Jesus pray for unity in the church? Because he already saw that the church will have problem about unity. If he saw that the church will have unity, he won't pray for that. He won't pray. There's no need for him to pray. Because he knows now they will have unity. So why would I pray for unity? Something like that. Think about that. It's a testimony of the entire church to be harmoniously united. When we are united, observers would say, wow, look at that church. They are one. They are united. There's harmony in that church. Unity among believers is a beautiful image in the church. We would love to see that. Beautiful image of the church, the body of Christ. Unity among believers practically testify also of our spiritual growth. Yes, it's maturity for us to be united. And we should be prayerful for each other for us to grow spiritually. Have you been envious? Have you experienced being envious in the church? Have you experienced irritated while attending the Maples Evangelical Church? Or have you been frustrated when you cannot participate in the ministry? You want to be in that ministry, but no opportunity given you. You are envious when one is doing well. You are irritated when you expect others to participate and you are the only one doing what you are doing. You are frustrated because you try your best and yet nobody appreciates what you are doing. Should envy, irritation, frustration prove deficiency of spiritual maturity? What should we do to grow mature in all aspects of our life, spiritual life? Particularly, what necessary adjustment do you suppose we should do for us to have complete harmonious unity in that church? Listen to the prepared message. Let's read again verse 7 of our passage in verse 8. Now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. How do you interpret the phrase common good? Common good. Ordinarily, common good is understood as communal favor that all believers may experience as a group, a collective benefit for the congregation. But common good is not relegated or limited to that communal collective benefit for the congregation. It is also profitable necessity that could bring us together for betterment. It's not only for us, oh, this is good for us. No, it should be for us to grow, to improve, to be mature. That is what the original meaning of common good in this. It's not only like for example, food, this is common good. We can eat together, common good. That is great, but there is something greater, which is to build us up to maturity together. and be united. That is what it means, this common good that manifests the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should not be satisfied with just simply good. Oh, this is good, this is nice. No, we should not be satisfied with that. Instead, we should be looking forward to increasing measure of improvement. Every day, we should look forward to improvement. Every day, we can have problem. Why? When we improve after that problem, there will be another problem. Why? Because the Lord wants us to grow in increasing measure, improve day after day after day after day until we reach the full measure of Christ-likeness. When the Holy Spirit is active among us, we desire stronger and deeper relationship with each other as brothers and sisters. How's your relationship with one another? Do you like everyone? Do you like to be eating on a table with everyone else and talk about fishing or gardening, about cooking, shopping, traveling? Think about that. If there are still somebody in here that you sense like, no, I don't want to sit beside that person, then pray about that. The Lord wants us to grow mature and grow deeper in our relationship with one another. You do not like part of your body not cooperating with one another. Now, if you are playing basketball, for example, you need coordination of your body, right? You run, and your hand would shoot the ball, for example. Now, if the feet do not cooperate, do not want to run, although you want to shoot, how can you win? How can you win? You observe, like, basketball players are frustrated when they had taken, the referee ignore them being fouled and just do not want to go and participate in the basketball. They just want to complain. Think about that. And they lose the game because one player in the game is complaining to the ref instead of playing basketball. Think about that. That is also another, like a picture in the church. If one is complaining and not participating, then there's problem. That is not, we should not stop there. Instead, we should continue to pray with one another. While we do not expect unity and harmony all at once, we need to grow, keep on. If we observe those, then maybe they need for prayers. The same Holy Spirit of God distributed different kinds of gifts to every believer. Each believer, if you consider yourself a believer, you have already given, the Holy Spirit has distributed spiritual gift to you, so that each of us be involved in different kind of services. Not just everyone would come up and we want to be worship team, all of us, and nobody is sitting there. That reminds me, when I thought of church, I was invited, a small church, I was invited in local church. They were all singing on the stage and I was alone with my daughter sitting on that chair when they were having their choir. And I don't know why that happened, but they may have enjoyed singing, all of them. Well, anyway, if it says different kind of service, we are not supposed to be involved in every ministry. We need to focus on the ministry we are called into for us to excel. Don't participate in every ministry, even if you like. You need to, well, you can participate at first, but try to search your heart. Do I really want to excel in this ministry? That is your question. If you do not want to excel in that ministry, if you cannot do your best in that ministry, maybe that ministry is not for you. You just want recognition, not really doing what the Lord wants you to do. That is not helpful for you to grow mature in increasing measure. The Lord had already prepared for us that different kind of service. We need to know that, so that we will experience how the Holy Spirit or the Lord work in our lives. Among us, the Lord has given a message of wisdom, while another believer is given a message of knowledge in the church through the same Spirit. How do we explain that to a child? Can you go to verse 8? The one is given through the Spirit, is given through the Spirit as message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. How do you explain that to a child, to an ordinary listener? What is the difference between the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge? What's the difference? In English term, the English term wisdom, or in Greek, sophia, it pertains to insight, the skills, or applied knowledge. That's wisdom. The English term knowledge, or gnosis, in Greek, gnosis in Greek pertains to doctrine, to experiential know-how, first-hand personal realization, and not just simply communicating news or events or memorizing information or statistic or data. Knowledge is, in this biblical word knowledge, it's your first-hand experience. I understand because I experience it. You say, the Lord loves me. That's, you know that. But without your experience of God's love, that is not what it means. You know it when you experience it. It's not only mental know-how. When the same Holy Spirit of God distributed this gift to speak of spiritual insight, to speak of your knowledge, testify, you are given the ability to interpret the message, and you can relate it. You relate the message to your personal experience in the realization, personal realization of what the message is teaching. If you have given that gift of wisdom or gift of knowledge, do you want to know if the Holy Spirit enables us to discern also? Preachers who are preaching from personal experience or just preaching a sermon they copied from Google search. What do you think? Would you be able to sense that? Do you know when a preacher is saying, preaching from personal understanding of the Bible, or just copying from another person's sermon, another preacher's sermon? Together, let's seriously reflect on what it declares in Romans chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? You preach against stealing, do you steal? In verse 22, you who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Now, Apostle Paul was pertaining to the Jewish people, and many Jewish people would quote the scripture, the Torah, because they know it, but they just recited, but some of them applied, but not every one of them. Well, we can agree that Apostle Paul pertains all to all prescription of the Lord. It's not just about stealing, it's not limited to adultery, it's not limited to idolatry. He just used these three examples to point out about the Torah, about the law of the Lord, and to relate to personal experience, the prescription of God, the commands of God. This is a gift of knowledge. When we relate it to our personal experience, when you hear, like for example, what we sang a while back, "Your word is the lamp unto my feet," and Brother Jay also repeated it. Actually, earlier this morning, Sister Arlene recited that to me as her gift for my birthday. Three times I heard it, from song, from Brother Jay, from Sister Arlene. How do you say that the word is the lamp unto your feet? How do you experience? Have you ever used the word of God for you to make right decision in your life? Now, to personally apply what the Lord says, what the Lord commands, what God has prescribed, that is gift of wisdom. Until you apply it, it remains a knowledge. When you apply it, that you have wisdom. The Jewish people were privileged. They heard the commandment of the Lord. They were the first. Before other nations heard about the commandments of the Lord, they were the first to hear it. But only a very few personally applied what they heard. Many of them ignore it. They did what they want. This reality is not limited to Jewish people. It is also reality among Christians. Confused Christians argue about beliefs. Confused Christians, they argue about unbiblical practices. Oh, that is not in the Bible. Oh, that is not what the Bible says. And they are confused about not literally told in the scripture. I did not read that in the scripture. Now, do you accept argument as expression of love and respect? If one is argumentative, do you sense love and respect from that person? Do you expect that they would respect you when confused people start saying, "With due respect"? Have you heard that before? When somebody say, "With due respect," and then proceed to point out things they want to criticize, "With due respect." When they say that, when they start saying "with due respect," there's no respect at all. They don't understand the word respect at all. You can sense animosity in their tone, in their voice. When there's animosity, hostility in their voice, now, they do not need to say "with due respect" if they really respect you. They just want to cover up, try to present themselves as respectful, though they are not. Let's reflect on what it teaches in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Here is something many young people, I know this because I was a young people once, do not know about respect. "I respect you. I respect," but their voice is, you know, the tone of their voice is very harsh. You cannot sense that respect in the voice alone. So how could they say they are just, you respect older people that they also have limitation. They are not perfect. They are also weak. They have weaknesses. We, every one of us, we have weaknesses. When we respect that, we do not need anything to point that out, to rub the salt into the wound accordingly. But sometimes, if you really love it, if you really love that person, even if they are hurt with what you say it because you need them to be enlightened. That there's this difference between animosity and that it does when it comes out of love. When the Holy Spirit is with us, when the Holy Spirit prevails in us, we can easily ignore something that may not be pleasant to us. It is divine prescription. It is practical expression of reverent fear of God to show proper respect. When it says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family, it is because of reverent fear of God and not anything else. It is not because we want to show ourselves as respectful. It is not because we want to show ourselves as being loving person. It is because we know that the Lord is observing us and we are aware of that. When the Lord is observing us, He's observing us, writing it down, if we are qualified for reward. The song that we sang a while back that says, it's saying that it doesn't need a crown or something like that. I cannot agree with that fully because Christ, the Lord, the Bible preaches about aspiring for that crown, but it should not be about selfishness, but because of out of love, and expect that crown. And to ignore that is unbiblical. So when we were saying that, I just want to glorify you, Lord, and that help me not to seek the crown. No, that's unbiblical. The Lord wants us to aspire for that because it's by faith. We believe that He will give us that crown. And to ignore that says, you are just trying to present yourself like. So when you sing that song, remember that I preach today against it. Because it's unbiblical to ask the Lord, help me, Lord, not to seek the crown. I just want to glorify you. It is, I don't know how to say it, but it's not reality. It's not biblical. We should be searching for a crown, seeking for that crown by doing what the Lord wants us to do. If it is not very important, the Bible would not have mentioned it several times. Anyway, how many among us prefer to show respect to everyone rather than to be argumentative? Well, it's not very often we observe respect and love. If respect and love prevails in the church, praise God for that. We consider that as miracle. It's a miracle. It's the Lord who is working. Don't you think so? Let's read again verse 9 of our passage. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. Most often, Christians are expected to display a similar expression of belief in the Lord. Now, why is this Christian doing like that? And why are you not doing like this? That is expectation of people. We are expected, if you are attending the Maples Evangelical Church, you are expected to behave like the pastor, something like that. or behave like the leader, something like that. That is what observers expect. Since we believe in the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, should we behave according to the expectation of people who do not believe in Christ? If they do not believe in Christ, they do not know what they are talking about. They just heard it from somewhere else. So don't pay attention. Don't be disturbed by those observations. You would only pay attention if you know that person is really trusting the Lord, living by the teaching of Christ. But if they do not believe in Christ, they're just trying to insult you. They're just trying to disturb you. As Christians, we need to experientially know the gift of the Holy Spirit distributed to each of us individually. Do you know your spiritual gift? The Lord designed each of us to have a spiritual gift for ministry efficiency. Not just doing ministry, it's more efficient. How we coordinate. Like for example, you want to run, if your feet left and right do not coordinate, you cannot run fast. You need to, if for example, think about this, your right foot step 1 meter and your left foot step just 1 foot, how do you look at that person running? One step is bigger than the other. It's not coordinated. How could that person win the race, for example? Similarly, how can we win the race spiritually if each part of the church is not coordinated? One believer gets the gift of faith. Another gets gift of healing. Another gets gift of making miracles. Which one do you receive? Which one do you prefer as your gift? Now, gift of faith pertains to belief, to trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness, especially reliance upon the salvation of that comes from Jesus Christ, salvation through Christ. Faithfulness is also translated as consistency, being faithful, consistent, constancy. You're faithful, for example, you come every week, week after week, after week, after week, you're being faithful. Or fidelity in the practice of obedience to the Lord. With faith, we put our trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But the spiritual gifts of faith, this is a strong, firm confidence in the promises of God, particularly in the gift of eternal life in Christ. Now, reflect what Jesus Christ prescribed in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What would you apply for this to believe? Do you apply faith by itself or the gift, spiritual gift of faith? Now listen, the spiritual gift of faith enables us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, meaning we allow divine authority to prevail in our life. We allow righteousness to prevail in our behavior. We behave in righteousness. That is the spiritual gift of faith. We strongly trust that the Lord also supplies all our needs. This is why we prioritize the Lord. How can we do that? We love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind. We prioritize the Lord in everything we do. By faith, if it is only by faith, yeah, I believe that. I believe that that's right. But to make it happen and realize that, we need the gift of faith. I heard many people, this is their favorite verse. And then they worry about their life. Many times during Sunday school, for example, what's your favorite verse? Matthew 6:33, and there is that, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. And then you observe that person is worried about life. He believes this is right, this is true. But to apply it, he needs the gift of faith. Now, the gift of healing is this, is a miraculous intervention of the Lord. And the Lord heals when we pray. We pray over patients with illness or sickness. This is really good. Good to minister. Learn from Apostle Peter and Apostle John. At one time, Apostle Peter and Apostle John went to the temple to pray. And then there was this beggar. Beggar at the Solomon's gate. Is that Solomon's gate? He was begging. The beggar was there many years because he cannot just, they would carry him, put them in the at the gate so that he can, anyone who would pass by would give money. Apostle Peter was instrumental for the healing of the beggar, not Apostle John. Both Peter and John, they were entering, but only Peter was instrumental. It narrated in Acts chapter 3, 6 to 8. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them in the temple court, walking and jumping and praising God. That is the work of God. Walking and jumping and praising what? God, not Peter, not John. Praising God. Apparently, Apostle Peter had the spiritual gift of healing. How about John? He was there. Maybe John was prayerful. Lord, bless this beggar. Bless also Peter. Be your instrument. Maybe he was praying because they were entering the temple because they go there to pray. They went there to pray. And there were other disciples who had similar stories, miraculous healing the sick, but not all the disciples had gift of healing. Other disciples, they have also miraculous power. Now, remember the time when Apostle Paul talked on and on until midnight, and there was this young man sitting on the window on the third floor. How tall would that be? His first floor is 10 feet, second floor is 10 feet, that's 20, and the window would be another 3 feet, maybe 23-24 feet. He was sitting there on the third floor window, and then Paul preached on and on and on. And then the man, young man named Eutychus sank into deep sleep, fell down to the ground and died. Now, if you sleep while I'm preaching, be sure that somebody would hold on to you and you'll not fall down. Huh? It's okay. You can sleep here. I am not angry with that. I would better see you sleeping here than sleeping somewhere else. In your home, I would rather see you here. Maybe when you allow you to sleep, Eutychus, maybe God allowed him to sleep because he had heard enough. That's enough for him for that day. So when you are not able to hear every part of the sermon, that's okay. Maybe God just given you enough spiritual food for the day. And God allowed that person, Eutychus, fall down and died because he wanted to show them that he is working in the life of Apostle Paul. It narrated in Acts 20, verse 10 to 12, Paul went down, threw himself on a young man, and put his arm around him, Don't be alarmed, he said, he is alive. He went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Now this story was interpreted by many scholars as saying, Apostle Paul must be very boring when he was speaking because one of the listeners fall asleep. But think about that. If he was boring, only one fall asleep. If he was boring, he was talking from dusk to daylight, whole 12 hours or 14 hours talking. He must be interesting. So that interpretation that he was boring preacher, I do not buy it. Maybe Eutychus was just tired from work that day, so he just went on in sleep. So keep reading the scripture. Keep reading the scripture and discover how disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were instrumental to miracles, making miracles. It could be that you would discover that you have the power, miraculous power that the Lord has given you, or miraculous healing, or a gift of faith. With genuine faith in Christ, expect the Holy Spirit has given you gift. You have gift, at least one. And you would understand, you would interpret more personally the meaning of His divine prescription. We can specifically apply the Word of God in our life with the help of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of revelation. The Holy Spirit Himself inspires us to personally realize the meaning of the scripture. We cannot do it. Many bright people, intellectual people with the world's worldly standard, scholars read the Bible, and yet they still cannot understand. They cannot apply it in their life because they just intellectually understood it, but not necessarily from the heart. It is the Holy Spirit who have enabled us to understand from the heart the meaning of the scripture. Let's read again verse 10, second part of verse 10, and the rest of our passage. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. The spiritual gift of prophecy is the gift of communicating divine inspiration, revealing the truth, divine truth from the scripture. That is the gift of prophecy. It's like preaching and declaring the purposes of God, explaining the purposes of God from the scripture, reproving, preaching against wickedness, admonishing against wickedness, comforting the afflicted, using the scripture to comfort the afflicted, revealing hidden things, what is in the Bible that is not literally written, foretelling the future, this may happen. So foretelling the scripture, it's not from the person, it is from the scripture. We foretell the scripture when we speak about the rapture. We foretell the future when we speak about the return of Christ, because it is written in the scripture. Those are considered prophesying. Now, if we interpret the scripture and explain it to another, that is prophesying, helping others to understand what the scripture means, because maybe they do not understand yet. They would understand when they hear it from another person, and maybe the Lord would use that. The Lord may use you. So when a person would come to you, what does this mean? Ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me reveal the truth in this word that this brother, this sister is asking me. Reflect what it narrated in Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 35. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage, the scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, who was Philip here? Who was the Philip mentioned here? He was Philip, the deacon, a church deacon. At the time, the apostles, the 12 apostles, of course, including Matthias, who was elected apostle, the apostles focused on prayer and focused on preaching the word of God at that time. So they told the church in Jerusalem, "Elect from among you deacons who would take care of practical needs in the church." And Philip was one of the elected church deacon at the time. When the Holy Spirit instructed Deacon Phillips, he obeyed, and then he interpreted the scripture for the eunuch. Philip, the deacon, was also popularly called the evangelist. Now think about that. Have you read in the scripture where it says Philip the deacon had seminary training? Have you read when it says Philip the evangelist was trained in preaching and interpretation of the scripture? How did Philip able to explain to the eunuch the meaning of the scripture? It's the Holy Spirit. He listened. The Holy Spirit told him, "Go." The Holy Spirit told him. He sensed that in his heart. He just go and went. He just went and approached the chariot. And then when he opened his mouth, the Holy Spirit speak through him and explained to the eunuch. If you read through the story, the eunuch believed and he was baptized. Actually, returned to his homeland praising God. If you have not discovered your spiritual gift yet, be prayerful. Be prayerful. What's my spiritual gift, Lord? And pay attention when the Holy Spirit gives you instruction. When the Holy Spirit told you, accept your nomination. You will have that peace, that joy to accept that nomination. "I'm scared, Lord." That's okay. You're scared. I understand that. Depend on me, the Holy Spirit would say. And you have that peace and joy to accept your nomination. Perhaps you are given the gift of leadership. He empowers you to testify of your personal experience of Christ. And one day you will say, "When I was elected as leader, I did not have any experience. Yet when I accepted, I saw how the Lord worked in our lives." And maybe one day you will encourage future leaders in the church because you also accepted the challenge to be leader in the church. The Lord empowers you to testify of your personal experience with Christ. And maybe you may also have the gift of preaching. You want to preach. Even if you say, "No, I do not want to stand before that pulpit. You may have also the gift of interpreting the scripture. "No, I don't want to teach. I don't understand the scripture." Depend on the Lord. You may have the gift of faith. Faith to trust the promises of the Lord and apply it in your life. The gift of healing. Maybe when someone is sick, go and pray. Just pray. Pray for healing. "Lord, heal this person. Pray for healing for this person." It's really great to see people when they are healed. When you pray for that person, you praise God. The person praise God also. You will be filled with rejoicing. Maybe you have faith of miraculous power. I don't know how you would do that. Maybe you would encourage a person or pray that your hostile boss, that your boss would become respectful to employees. Pray about that. Maybe you have a gift of miraculous power. Pray for your employer. Or a hostile coworker, that coworker just continue to bully or tease you. Just pray for that. Lord, I would like to see transformation in this person. Try to explore your spiritual gift, and you will praise God when you discover your spiritual gift. You may have miraculous powers or spiritual gift of distinguishing the spirits. What is this gift of distinguishing the spirit? Theologians suggest that the gift of distinguishing between spirit is the ability to distinguish godly doctrine from deceptive doctrines of cults. It's the ability to discern sound doctrine from deceptive doctrines of man-made religions. So you would not easily, I think that doctrine is not biblical. Maybe you have that gift of distinguishing spirits. Then you will be saved. Pray for that, distinguishing spirits, so that you will not be misled. Or the spirit of deception, you would discern that, and you would just, no, I don't think that is not right. That is not right for me. There's also the spiritual gift of speaking different kinds of tongues or different kinds of language and interpretation of tongues. Tongue is properly interpreted as language, spoken dialect. That is what it means, speaking in tongue. When someone is speaking tongue and you don't understand, you need interpreter of tongues. They would interpret. When I speak in Ilocano, you ask Dan, and he will interpret for you. And then we will learn more about this speaking in tongue in the future when we reach that chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Well, the spiritual gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking at different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, they were given for the common good. Common good, and originally to address the problem of division and faction among the Corinthian Christians. Faction, division, do we have problem here? What do you think? There is faction problem here. How? The young people have their group. When they speak different language. Did you know that? Another group, they are speaking in Ilocano because their pastor is Ilocano. You don't understand. Others speak in Cebuano, Tagalog. At least Tagalog we can understand, and English. English, right? Or they would speak in Punjab. If they speak in Punjab, approach Nikhil. He will translate to you. Right? There is. The international students, they are by themselves. That's also group, right? The billiard boys, they speak about billiard boys. See, there's division, there's faction here. Young people do not want to join Sunday school with the older people. Why? We don't belong. We don't speak your language. See? They have different language. There's different faction. And that is not very good. This is why participate when there are activities like family picnic. Because everyone participate. Everyone enjoy. At least we have the same language when we talk about food, right? We eat together. Food is good. Anyway, spiritual gifts were given as manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ in our life and in the church. So if you really want to prove that you have the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life, then pray that you would understand your spiritual gift and practice it. Previously, Apostle Paul testified in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 48, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech, with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is our goal, to be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is to be blamed when you do not practice your spiritual gift? It says in verse 7, "Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift." So it means everyone has a spiritual gift. When we personally accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we prayed, "Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior of my life, forgive me of my sins," then we genuinely have faith in him. And spiritual gift confirms the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit in us? Each genuine believer receives one spiritual gift, at least, while few believers receive more gifts as the Lord appropriated it or deem it as fitting. These different kinds of spiritual gifts, they are used to different kinds of services that the Lord assigned for ministry participation. Each person then in the church, each believer, each member of the church should participate. If in any case you have doubt of the presence of His Holy Spirit in your life, pray that the Lord would give you that assurance, that you would be filled, so that when Christ returns, you have that confirmation, strong confidence that He will take you into heaven. And you won't be left behind. The Holy Spirit, He is the one who guarantees that we will be with Jesus Christ in heaven until eternity. Let's reflect on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. "Now it is God who makes you both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. What is to come, He pertains to eternal life and the rewards of the Lord waiting in the eternity." Do you sense the Holy Spirit in your life? You can be more assured of your salvation. You sense more confirmation that you will enter when Christ returns and takes you to heaven when you actively practice your spiritual gift. So discover your spiritual gift. Don't be satisfied with your current spiritual status. "No, I'm okay with this. Going to church faithfully, it's okay with me." No, don't be satisfied with that. Because the more we use our spiritual gifts, the more we grow mature spiritually. Without using the spiritual gift, you will be stagnant in your spiritual level. You want to grow mature. And you do not like to see children, toddler, for example. You know that your children, their attitude when they were toddler, you were running after them and give them food. They would just want to play with you or play with the food. They don't pay attention much to you. And then they grow up, they are old. Like, for example, there was this child at 2 years old, or 2 years old, at 1 month, at 1 year old, he was very good. He was already saying his name. My name is Tital. Wow, 1 year old, he's speaking. My name is Tital. His name is Caesar. My name is Tital. And then he was 21 years old. What's your name? My name is Tital. You do not like that. You name him Caesar, and then he said Tital at old age. That is what happens. It's funny. So it's funny when Christians do not grow mature. Especially when you've been attending the church for many, 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 many years. Have you discovered your spiritual gift already? Keep praying, keep asking the Lord to reveal you more specifically, more clearly your spiritual gift He gave you. How you may practice it frequently. Practice it frequently and you would sense more blessing that comes upon you as you grow mature. Let's stand up and let's pray. Take this time, ask the Lord, if you are not yet sure of the spiritual gift He's given you, ask the Lord, Lord, reveal to me very clearly the spiritual gift You give me. Ask the Lord to increase your faith in Him. Ask the Lord to help you discern the spiritual gift He's given you and give you wisdom how you may apply it and participate in the ministry.